All for singing that song. Thank you, Brother Dwayne, for sharing that song with me. I'd like to challenge you young people to take this copy home with you and make it a prayer. If you could have this kind of heart, and if the church could have youth with this kind of heart, it would be, I wonder what kind of difference it would make. And we do have, many of you young people have this heart, and I don't want to insinuate that you don't. I would just like to encourage you to take this very much to heart. I believe it encapsulates the burden that I have for you all this afternoon. Brother Levi said it well. Youth is often viewed as a time to have fun, a time to enjoy things that you'll soon have to, quote, give up. And I believe there's a better way. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I've titled the message this afternoon, Purposeful Preparing Youth. Purposeful Preparing Youth. I've had a burden for this on my heart for a few months now, and just a week or two after I started developing this burden, Brother Isaac came and asked me, without knowing that I was thinking about this, if I would share on the very topic that was on my heart. So I felt that it's a confirmation from the Lord, and I'm excited about it. I was wondering if I could get everyone in here who is unmarried from the ages of 15 to 24 to stand up. I'm sorry, I wasn't sure how to cut this. I hope nobody feels excluded. We have a lot of you in this age bracket. And I am speaking to everyone here, and no one is excluded, but the burden that I have and the focus is primarily to those of you who are standing here this afternoon. And I look at you all, and my heart thrills as I think of the potential that is represented right here. You're in a very exciting time of life. It was just a few years ago that I was there myself. There's a lot of potential. There's dreams. Your future lies ahead unknown, and I hope your heart thrills at excitement of what may be ahead for you. That's good and that's healthy. You have hopes and dreams of marriage and of raising a family and of a beautiful home and the wonderful marriage you'd like to have. And that's good and right. I hope you have that. I hope you have dreams of service and usefulness in God's kingdom. And there's great potential there of being a pillar in the church. You dream of God's call and purpose on your life. May it be that way, and of where that call might lead you and your family. Those of you standing here are the church of tomorrow. And I trust that standing here are a group of men and women. Sorry. Who can unapologetically stand in this evil day. We are facing tremendous pressures. Excuse me. Tremendous pressure on the church today, and it will only increase. And without men and women of conviction and purpose in life, the church has no future. You here that are standing have a responsibility on your shoulders. And if you miss it, the Church of Jesus Christ will lose out. And we do believe that it will not lose out, but the question is, will you be a part of it? The possibilities here are exciting. We have godly fathers and mothers, devoted mothers, ministers, and missionaries standing here today, I trust. And I believe that none of you here dream of having a wrecked marriage or a disorderly home. None of you here want that. None of you are dreaming of that. You're not dreaming of having an unfruitful life or a purposeless life. That's not in your dreams, and I praise God for that. But I want to ask you a question. How are you going to get to those aspirations that you have of a godly home, of a beautiful marriage, usefulness in God's kingdom? How are you going to get there? Is it just going to happen? Is it going to be handed to you somehow? At the marriage altar, somehow this new strength and power is going to come into you? Or how are you going to get there? Will it just happen? You may be seated. Thank you all. Someday, the older generation is not going to be here anymore. And those of us young people, we are going to be the church. The responsibility for the direction, the godliness, and the conviction of the church is going to rest on our shoulders. We miss it, the next generation will not get it if the Lord tarries. Someday, the responsibility of a home and a family is going to rest on your shoulders. Whether or not there's worship there, whether or not there's conviction there, whether or not there's godliness will be decided by your life. Are you ready for that? The guidance of eternal souls will rest on your shoulder, Lord willing, someday. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared for that? There's a great need in our day of people of conviction and purpose, of preachers and teachers and missionaries and laborers for the Lord. Seems everywhere we turn, there's a need. Young people, are you preparing for that? Are you ready? Someday the men of God that we look up to, the examples in the church, will no longer be here. And who is going to take up the mantle? Are you preparing for that, young people? Are you practicing, are you preparing to be unashamed of the gospel in this evil day in which we're living? Purposeful, preparing youth. I want to give you youth a sober call, if I may, to examine your life and look at the foundation you are laying right now for the rest of your life. What kind of foundation are you building? You know, when a bullet or an arrow is shot, where does it hit? Wherever, that's almost right. That's almost right. But it hits wherever it was aimed at. You know, it is possible to believe that you're on and to have the scope pointed on the target and to miss. It is possible to do that. It is possible to miss. Being off even a fraction of an inch over several hundred yards can mean you will miss by a long shot. Young people, much of the course of your life is being set right now. Where is your life pointed at? I don't believe, I trust, and I pray God, there is no one here who wants to live an ungodly life. I really trust that. But young people, a godly life is not just going to happen. You may have a godly life in the scope, off in the future, so to speak, but where is your life pointed at? Is it pointed towards godliness by the decisions you're making and the direction you're setting, or where is it pointed at? We do well to ponder this. As I said, much of the course of your life is being set right now. The decisions you are making is setting that course. Decisions will determine your destiny, and not just the big decisions. You may think that the decisions of who you marry and where you go to church and maybe your job and whether or not you're a missionary, some of those decisions you may look at as the big decisions that decide your life, and they certainly do. But those decisions are being made up of a bunch of little decisions that are determining your destiny. Ordinary decisions that seem very small and insignificant, they are fashioning the character and the person of who you are and who you will become, and ultimately of your eternal destiny. I don't want to be too heavy here this afternoon, pardon me if I am, but I do want to sober you young people, because this is a serious matter. You only get one chance. And we heard as parents this morning, we only get one chance with our children. But young people, you only get one chance at being a young person. Those years that are behind you are forever behind you. Those years before you, you will never have again. And so we do well to be serious and to ponder this matter very seriously. The choices of how you respond to the things that God brings into your life and the way you respond to life circumstances and the way others treat you and the way and the decisions that are out of your control, those things are shaping who you are today. Your decisions and choices are setting the course for which your life, like an arrow, will travel. And the destination is eternity. And there are only two marks in eternity, And when you're shooting a gun or a bow, it may go anywhere. But our life is traveling towards one of two destinations. There is no in between. There's only two destinations in eternity. And the analogy of an arrow is not inaccurate. While you're a young person, I remember it well. Life seems to drag by. You wonder when things are ever going to change and when you're ever going to be old enough to get married or to do this or to do that. And life seems to drag. But it won't always be that way. And I know I'm a young person saying this. Some of you older people are thinking, if he only knew how it gets from here on. But seriously, young people, it's going to change. Your life is traveling very fast, faster than you imagine, and it is headed towards eternity. And it can be a beautiful thing, or it can be tragic. Foundations are important. You know, I grew up on a dairy farm my whole life. I've tended animals, and I have learned that one of the best keys of having a productive, useful animal is starting that animal out right. Many animals never reach their full potential because they were not raised right. They did not have the proper amount of nutrition, protein, minerals to start them out. You want a productive milk cow? You start them out by feeding them a good ration, and then you're well on your way to having a productive animal. There are things that can stunt an animal that make it never able to reach its full potential. I remember one time I bought a beautiful Jersey heifer. She was from a very good family line. She was a color that I like, a light mouse gray colored Jersey, just a beautiful animal. But she had been stunted, I don't know by what, but that cow never reached the potential she should have by her genetics. Something in her life stunted her. And young people, I have a burden on my heart, and I'll share some of these more in depth later on, but there are things that can stunt your spiritual growth. But even though there is redemption, even though there is restoration in Jesus Christ, there will still be scars there that you will never be able to reach the potential that you could have had there not been those things. Foundations are very important. Builders spend a lot of time and great pains to make sure the foundation is set right in a building. They make sure that thing is laid square and correctly laid. I'm not a builder, and you can obviously tell it. But I've watched builders, and they take tremendous pains to make sure that building is set on square. Why? Because when you're putting that metal on later on, if it's off how many inches? An inch even. You can be in serious trouble. The foundation is important. You may be able to get that metal on there, but it's going to take a lot more work and frustration than if it had been laid right. And so you'll see builders out there measuring from multiple angles and spending a lot of time making sure that foundation is set right. Young people, what kind of foundation are you building? Are you looking at the foundation that you're building? Are you putting effort into it? Too many youth spend their young years focusing on having fun, having an exciting time, and just enjoying life, not taking it very seriously. They spend their time and even their money without thinking of the consequences of their actions. But all this is laying a foundation of some sort. And if it's going to be corrected later on, it will cause much pain and labor to correct. And sadly, many never correct the foundation and go on to live lives that fail of God's will for their lives. And that's my burden here this afternoon. Foundations must be built on something stable and solid. You cannot just plop a house out on loose sand and expect that it's going to stand the next windstorm that comes. Young people, are you building your lives on Jesus Christ? Is He at the core and center of your life? Are you taking heed to and obeying His words? Do you know God? Are you striving to know Him more? Do you have a solid foundation of repentance from sin and a godly life being sought after? What kind of foundation have you got under you, young people? Is it on the rock or is it on the sand? Foundations need to be laid at the beginning, not partway through. It may be possible to go afterwards and to jack up a building and lay a foundation afterwards, but it takes a tremendous amount more of time and effort than if that foundation had been laid at the beginning. And many of our parents, I know my parents, I'm sure there's parents standing in here, laid their foundation after their building was started. And you can ask them, if you don't believe me, of the pains and the energy that it took for them to correct that and lay that foundation. But you're here and you have the building, and pardon me, all analogies break down, but you have, as it were, your building that you're just starting, and you can still lay that foundation right if you only will. God help us. And I just want to reiterate that I don't want to condemn anyone here. I realize that we are in the flesh and we fail sometimes. And there is redemption and repentance in Jesus Christ. And God can redeem. And it is possible to lay foundations after we've started, if you will. But we must be honest that there are scars that will remain. And there may never be the potential reached that could have been reached. And we must be honest about that. People spend years preparing for their life's career. A doctor spends a minimum of 10 to 12 years preparing for his life's career. Lots of honest study and hard work goes into a degree. Most of us go to school for around 8 to 10 years in our childhood years, preparing for life. My point with all this is that foundational things are very important, and your youth is setting a direction and course for your life. The habits that you're forming and the decisions that you're making is setting a course for which your life will travel. Are you paying attention to the foundation that you're laying? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7. And we'll read down through chapter 12, verse 2. It says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth our vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. We could keep going on there in the analogy, but for sake of time, I'm going to stop there. Solomon said, though you may have many years ahead of you, your life is ahead of you, and it's exciting, and there's tremendous potential, and you hope for many years of light, as it says here. It's a pleasant thing. You know, youth is an invigorating time of life. But Solomon says that if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, let him remember the years of darkness. Solomon is talking about eternity. Eternity is coming. It doesn't have to be dark if we're a child of God. But wherever we are, eternity is coming, and it may be here sooner than you think. There are new graves in this community of young people your age that entered eternity. Eternity is coming. Young people, your life is ahead of you, and you're rejoicing in the light that is ahead of you, we trust. But remember, eternity is coming. Solomon says, rejoice, young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. And go ahead and walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. There is coming a time of reckoning. Someday, you will stand before God and give an account for how you lived your youth. Are you thinking about that, young people? Are you pondering that? Is that in front of you as you live your life? Someday, I will stand before God and give an account for my life. Know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Solomon exhorts in verse 10 to removal of sorrow. That word, I believe, is also translated anger from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. They will be gone before you know it. Solomon exhorts us to purity. These years that you have before you, or that you are in right now, will be gone before you know it, and you will be rapidly traveling down the course for your life. You cannot afford to have your youth tainted by sin. It will stunt your growth and leave scars, just like a tree. You can sometimes see trees that are all gnarled up, and they may be growing, and they may be flourishing, but there are scars there that attest to something that happened in their past. Young people, are you living in victory over sin? Is there hidden sin in your life? It will scar and it will stunt the growth of your life if you hide sin. Remove sin from you. Repent and seek the Lord. Remember now your Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So many youth, and I believe that many even subconsciously put off the seeking of God and the being serious about life till later on. After marriage, after I have, a family, then I'll get serious. I'm free right now. I don't have as many responsibilities. Money's easier to come by than it will be then. And so youth tend to live it up and put off getting serious till later. Some maybe even put it off till they're old. They want to have fun even in their married days. They want to pursue business, pursue money, pursue pleasures, and maybe when I get old, then I'll get serious about seeking God. But Solomon says to remember your Creator now in the days of your youth. Why does Solomon say this? Because youth is when you're setting the course for which your life will travel. Very few old people change their ways. And if they do, it is with tremendous difficulty and effort that they will change. You're in a time of life where it's easy to form habits, relatively speaking. You're in a time of life where your direction is still moldable, is still being set. And Solomon says, remember now your Creator. Remember to have in mind, to have before you, to be conscious of. And I just appreciated the theme of both messages this morning, of having a God consciousness. If we could only get a God consciousness in our lives, everything else would come right. Young people, are you cultivating a consciousness of God right now? What is before you? Is it a fear of God? Or are you fearing what your peers think and what the pressures of the world have to say? Are you seeking after God in your youth? Many of you youth are busy youth. You're way busier than I ever was, and with many good things, and I admire that about you. But let me just very gently say to you that you will never have more free time on your hands than what you have right now. I know it's hard to imagine that. You feel busy, but you will never be more free than what you are right now. Someday, the responsibility of a marriage and a family will settle on you. And Lord willing, of ministry and of work in the church will settle on your shoulders. And you will never have the amount of free time that you have right now. Now is the time to seize the opportunity you have and seek God and to know His Word. It will never be more convenient. I know it's easy to think that somehow off in the future there's some goal that we will reach and it will become easier, but it never will happen. Just please take my word for it. It's never going to come. Youth, are you spiritually awake and alert in this formative time. How sad it is to be distracted by other lesser things and to be anemic spiritually in such a critical time of your life. A burden that I've had in my heart is that if our churches and our homes are to prosper, they must be built by men and women of conviction and principle. Men and women who know the principles of God's Word and are unashamed to live them out. Young people, are you preparing for that? Are you laying that foundation of conviction and of principle and purpose in your life? Do you have principles and convictions that are your own, that you personally own, and you would be willing to stand for if everyone else would not? Or are the restraints on your life merely what Dad and the church say? Do you have your own convictions, young people? And I've already said that you all are the church of tomorrow. The church is made up of individuals. It is said that a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. The level of conviction, the holiness, the purity, the fervency of the church is determined by its members, not just the ministry. And you young people are already influencing and affecting the church today. You have a tremendous impact beyond what you realize on the church right now. Your contribution or lack thereof has a huge impact on the church today. Your influence is bigger than you think it is. The atmosphere and the direction of the church is affected tremendously by the young people. And I have heard it said that you can judge a church's spiritual condition by looking at their young people. And that's a responsibility for those of us that are older, too. But young people, you are affecting the church today. Are you taking that seriously? You are the homes of tomorrow. Homes are made of a man and a woman. The godliness, the vision, the love, the purpose, how much God is involved, the harmony are decided by that man and woman in that home. The children are brought up in the fear of God will be decided by the man and the woman in the home in which you live. Young people, are you preparing for this? How would a home be where you are the husband or the wife? Would it be godly? Would there be devotion in that home? Would there be love? Would Jesus be an honored guest, not just by what you say about him, but by your actions and the way you live? Young people, are we preparing for our future? Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The first and the most important element of this, and if I could just help you to grab a hold of this, I don't think I need to say anything else. Well, you know, we young people tend to worry about our future. Am I ready? Sometimes I trust we think about it. We may wonder what we should be doing to prepare. But Jesus says here that we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will come in line. And if it's specifically talking about food and clothing in this passage here, but if it applies to food and clothing, it surely applies to marriage, jobs, friends, enjoyment, etc. So the primary thing is to seek God and his righteousness, and everything else will fall in line. Young people, are you seeking God, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness today? What I was meaning to say earlier is any normal young person spends a lot of time wondering who and what kind of person they will marry, don't we? And that's not all wrong. It's a natural part of life. We may wonder how we will find the right one. We may have lists and ideals and mental pictures of what this person will look like. And it's right to have ideals. But young people, I would just like to propose to you that more importantly about finding the right one is being the right one. There is no better way to be prepared for marriage than focus on being a godly, righteous person. And they say birds of a feather flock together. You focus on being a godly young person, and in His time, God will bring to you a mate that's perfectly suited to you in a way you probably didn't even think of. God will take care of that aspect. If you're a godly, devoted young person, it's very likely you will find the same kind of person. If you are carnally minded and just enjoy having fun and games, that is likely the person you will attract. And young people, I've heard it said, and I believe it's true, that marriage is the second most important decision you will ever make in life. Conversion is the most important, whether or not to follow Jesus. But secondly, who you marry affects your destiny in a tremendous way. And if you are carnal-minded and seeking after the world, that is likely to be the type of young person you're going to marry. And the possibility of you ever correcting your course and setting a godly course for your family is very slim. It's very slim. If you are choosing to be an example of believers now in the way you act, the way you dress, the vehicle you choose, the way you speak, the music you listen to, you will be drawn to the same kind of person. So the question I'd like to challenge you with, young man, what kind of young lady would be attracted to you? Would it be a godly, devoted young lady? What kind of young lady would she be? Young lady, what kind of young man are you going to attract to yourself? And the way you behave yourself, and the way you dress, and the words that you speak, and the attitude you convey, what kind of young man would be attracted to you? When we are remembering God, as Solomon exhorts us to in this passage, and He is the object of our focus, and we are seeking to please Him above all else, it shapes and forms our desires and what attracts us. And that is why it is so important to remember your Creator. It sets a course for your life. You focus on pleasing God and serving Him now, be a devoted young person, and I assure you that God will bring you a marriage partner just suited for you in His own time. But young people, marriage will not fix your problems. When you come to the marriage altar, there is no magical grace that will suddenly be infused into your life. The things you struggle with now, the areas of weakness now, the areas of failure now, will be the areas of failure then and possibly even magnified. There's more pressure, there's more responsibility on you when you have a marriage partner and a family. Young people, seek God now. Young people who are godly and devoted before marriage will likely be that after. Young people who are carnal and living for fun and frills will create marriages and homes that are seeking after the same. Young people, how is the foundation you are laying? So I have some practical tips here for laying a good foundation, and there's probably many more that could be added. These are some that the Lord impressed on my heart that I'd like to just share with you. The first one is devotional life. Young people, if you are going to create a godly, devoted home, Jesus must be at the center of it. And He cannot be at the center of your home. And Jesus cannot be at the center of a church where its members are not centered on Jesus Himself. Young people, how is your devotional time? How much time are you spending on your knees seeking God? Could there be any better way to prepare for your future than by spending much time alone with Jesus, the source of all wisdom? Are you cultivating a heart after God right now? Or what is your heart after? So a practical tip for you, a practical point I would like to point you towards is to get alone with God every day on a daily basis, but also to set apart longer periods of time where you're just seeking God, especially when you're making decisions. If you are going to set your course straight, Jesus must be guiding you, and He can't guide you if you don't seek Him. Seek after God and spending much time in prayer. The second one, are you cultivating a growing knowledge and love for God's Word? The Word of God, when read, received, and applied, is a mighty power to change a life and to guide it. I have a good friend of mine that I first learned to know when he was unconverted, following after the flesh, and then he found the Lord. And I watched as that young man got a hold of the Word of God and devoured it and spent tremendous amounts of time. And I watched that young man's personality change. And I watched him turn into a man of principle and conviction. And he's available on a very short notice to preach a message if need be. And the Word of God is what wrought that change in his life. And it will do the same for you if you will seek after it, if you will study it, and if you will love the Word of God. Young people, this is tremendously important. Without men and women who love God's Word, who know it, and who apply it, the church of tomorrow has no future. We must be men and women of the Word. So know God's Word and study it. And I found it a blessing in my youth to take a book of the Bible and write my own commentary on it. Study the passage. What is it saying? How does it apply to my life? What are some practical things that I can draw out of this passage? Do that in your young years. It'll set you on such a beautiful course. And someday later on, when the pressures of life are on you and you're called upon to preach a message, you'll be very thankful for that time you spent in the Word of God. Not that we can coast off of the past, but study and Bible study and Bible knowledge will set you in very good stead in the future. I'd just like to remind you that Jesus' words are the rock that we are to build our spiritual house upon. We need to know the Bible. Thirdly, purity before marriage cultivates purity after marriage. Young people, are you living a pure life? I talked earlier about a tree that's marred and twisted. There is, I don't know, hardly anything more than impurity that will twist and mar your tree for the rest of its life. And though there is redemption and though there is forgiveness of sin, there will always be those scars there from impurity. Young man, young lady, are you pure? If you are not pure, do whatever it takes to repent and to be pure in your life. Purity now will bring God's blessing on your life. It's your whole life through. And purity now is sowing seeds that will bless you your whole life. Marriage will not fix your problems. If you're impure now, you'll just drag another person into your impure life. You will found a home that is wrecked with problems. You'll have a marriage that is a pain instead of a delight. Young people, it is worth it to pay the price to be pure. You may have to suffer a bit now, and our society is pressing in on us with all kinds of ungodly advice on this matter. Young people, it is worth it to live a pure life. It is worth it. Please, don't leave this building. I beg of you, if you are impure in your life and there is some sin that you are not free from, it would be worth your while to not leave this building until you have found forgiveness and a cleansing from that sin. Be faithful. Be a person of your word. You make a commitment, do not lightly go back on it. Keep your word. Be faithful at work. Do your best. Give it whatever you've got. And do it to your best ability. Faithfulness now sets you on a course for faithfulness your whole life through. Be faithful. Be disciplined. Young people, how is it when your alarm goes off in the morning? I know, it's hard. Especially if you're up late the night before. So being disciplined and rising in the morning starts the night before. Getting to bed on time when possible. I believe that a young person, I'm not going to set an age, but from fairly early on, ought to be able to get up on their own when the alarm goes off. Rise in the morning and spend time in seeking God. Be disciplined in that area. Be punctual. There's a lot said about a person, and I understand there are sometimes things that arise, and there are times it is right to be late. If you're helping someone out, or whatever it may be, there are definitely some times it is right to be late. But most of the time, our priorities are spoken of by how punctual we are to appointments. Learn to be punctual now. Let me just tell you that you right now, you primarily have one person that you're getting ready to go somewhere. Someday you'll have more people that you're responsible for getting ready. And if you aren't punctual now, it won't happen then. Learn to be punctual now. Learn stick-to-itiveness. Stick to it. When you've got a job you've started, when you've started a project, stick to it till it's done. These are just practical things that may seem small, but they're setting a course for your life. When you're undisciplined now, you will never, I shouldn't say you'll never, but you'll find it much harder to learn to be disciplined later on. Be disciplined in your eating habits. I'm not going to say much about that one, but learn to be disciplined in your eating habits now. And be disciplined in social life. Sometimes it is right and it's godly to say no to a social engagement and stay home with the family. You do that now, and you're setting yourself for a good course of a godly family. Sometimes it's right to say no to a social appointment in order to seek after the Lord, too. Be disciplined. Learn to be a faithful steward of money. See, I'm almost out of time here, so we won't turn to it, but Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, Jesus tells us that how we handle money is a test if we are ready for eternal riches. I don't believe that the full impact of this hits me as it should, but how a person, I believe from what the Word of God says, how a person handles money is one of the truest indicators of their inner life. How are you handling money? Young people, when you think of the destitute in the world, of the hungry and the starving people, is it okay to be really frank with you here? Is it right to buy drones and toys that cost hundreds of dollars? And there are people who don't even have bread to eat on a daily basis. Is it right? And what's more is you're setting a course for your life of blowing money that you will someday need to provide for your family and to continue giving on useless, unnecessary things. I'd just like to plead with you young people, especially you young men, be very careful how you spend your money. Get accountability. If you're having problems, keep track of all your expenses and send them to somebody be accountable in that way. This is a big deal. It is in the eyes of the Lord how we use our money. Okay, I'm probably going to need to take that, so thank you. Learn to be frugal in your lives. It will set you on such a good stead when the pressures and the responsibilities of a family are on you. You will be very happy for learning to be frugal. Spare time. How are you using your spare time? Is it purposeful or is it frittered away? You're building a foundation now in your youth. How are you using your spare time? You know, I think spare time is another dead giveaway of where your heart is at. Where does it go when you're free from responsibilities? What are you doing? And I'm not against games altogether. In a family setting, as our brotherhood has directed us, I'm not against that. But I just would like to challenge you and ask you the question, if you're in a time where you're building a foundation, how much time is it right to be spending on fun and games? Just ponder that question. In the light of eternity and living a life for the Lord, how much time would you want to spend on games and fun? So what are you doing with your spare time? Use it for the Lord. Your choice of friends, it is affecting your future, who you choose for your friends. And there could probably be a whole sermon preached on friends, but this is a big deal. I fully believe that I would not be here today were it not for some faithful, godly friends in my younger years that kept me pointed in the right way. Young people, who are you associating with? I beg of you, you don't have to be unchristian, you don't have to be unkind in the way, but cut off ties with young people who are carnal and lighthearted. associate yourself with those who are godly and those who are seeking after the Lord. And along with this, make stable, godly men and women your friends. Your parents, if you have godly parents, make them your friends and your confidants. And also brothers and sisters in the church who are portraying godliness and sincerity in their lives, make them your friends. It will set you up for tremendous blessings in your life. Cultivate brotherhood commitment. Be loyal and be committed. Honor the brotherhood. Honor its shepherds. Be conscientious with our brotherhood agreements. You're setting yourself up for a tremendous blessing if you will do this. Parents that disrespect and disregard the church will raise children who disrespect and regard them as parents. You practice disrespect and dishonor for the brotherhood now, you're sowing seeds of rebellion and disrespect with your children. Be conscientious and be respectful of the brotherhood. Be at the church's events, engage yourself. And many of you young people are, and I want to bless you for this. This is not just coming down on you here. You all bless me and how you do with this. But I want to encourage you to be more and more in this subject. Be committed and loyal to the brotherhood. Have good reading material, good music that you listen to, and preaching. What you feed on is what you will become. Be very choosy in these areas of reading material, music, and the messages you listen to that are recorded. Young people, is your music that you're listening to encouraging you to worship in your life? Just think about it. Think about it. What is your music encouraging you in? I would just like to challenge you that if your music library is a secret, you're in dangerous ground. Very dangerous ground. Have accountability in your music library. What is your reading material inspiring in you? What are you reading on, young people? What is it encouraging in your life? Be very choosy in your reading material. And I don't know how much of a deal this is in our congregation, but I would just like to discourage a feeding on a lot of sermons from outside of our circles. I've seen it take young people down a way that we don't want to go. I would like to encourage you to receive your primary feeding from your own shepherds. They know you best. They know what you need best. And I'm not making any hard or fast rules here. Please don't hear that. But I would just like to discourage a heavy diet of feeding on sermons outside of the churches that we associate with. Is that okay? Can we receive that? There's safety and sticking with our own shepherds. That's how God has designed it. So be careful in listening and your sermon listening material. Young people, are you living a life of service now? And I again just want to bless you young people. There are many of you who challenge me and the ways that you are willing to drop your life and go serve somewhere. CAM projects, work days, just about anything that needs to be done. There are some of you that you can count on are going to be there if at all possible. And I just want you to know you are laying a tremendous foundation for yourself with that. It's going to bless you in ways you've never thought about yet. But I would just like to encourage you more and more in that. Live lives of service now. It's sowing seeds that will bless you your whole life. Keep building the foundation of a life of availability for service. God is looking for people who are busy being faithful where they are right now. God will not call the idle ones who are waiting around for something to do. God will call the busy ones. So be busy wherever you are. Serving in the home, this is very crucial. Jesus said cups of cold water given to little ones are worthy of reward. So learn to serve in the little ways that are not noticed. It is laying a foundation for your future. In closing, youth, what is your purpose in life? Is it an eternal purpose? Or what is that purpose that you have? Having a purpose makes it or breaks it in laying a foundation. And God has a purpose for each and every person here today. But do you and God have the same purpose for your lives. Just like to challenge you with that. Youth with a purpose will set their gaze on serving God and glorifying Him and will make intentional choices in laying a good foundation in their youth. They will build homes and churches with purpose and meaning. And if you watch people, even in society, people with a purpose have an inner strength that carries them forward. There's something within them that buoys them up. They can take adversity, they can take trouble, and there will be something that will carry them forward. They can be tremendously disciplined in their lives because they have a purpose they're shooting for. Young people, do you have a purpose? You can also tell someone that does not have a purpose. They're carried here and there. They do what the here and now dictates. What feels good right now is what they will do. And then consequently, they struggle with discouragement and depression even because there's no purpose in their life. There's nothing solid there. They fritter away opportunities to seize on something and make some eternal good because they don't have a purpose in their life. Youth without a purpose waste the precious years of youth in fun and games, maybe even making a lot of money, and then found homes without purpose beyond making a lot of money, being a good church member, and living the plain version of the American dream. Young people, do you have a purpose, an eternal purpose in mind? If you do not, I beg of you to get alone with God until you have God's purpose for your life. So I would like to ask all of you young people to commit today that sometime in the next couple of days, you will get alone with God for an extended amount of time and evaluate what is your purpose in life. Can we do that? Would you be willing to commit to that, young people? Find a purpose in life, God's purpose for your life, and then lay your foundation with that purpose and that goal in mind. Eternity will be worth it, and the seeds that you sow now for the Lord will blossom and prosper and bless you your whole life through. May the Lord bless you, young people. I love each one of you. You all are dear to my heart, and I want to see you make it in life. May God bless you all, and may you continue building purposeful, preparing lives for the Lord.